have a new sponsor and an old friend joining Envy Pillow here, Sierra Sil. With two rare patents and a money-back guarantee, Sierra Sil, available at Shoppers Drug Mart, London Drugs, and health food stores, is the natural mineral joint pain remedy you need.
Go to SierraSil.com, SierraSil.com, and use the code GF for 10% off.
Well, hello, and welcome to episode 33 of Gracefully and Frankly. And just think, about 10 minutes in, you'll be 33 and a third, if that resonates with anybody. I'm Erin Davis.
And I'm Lisa Brandt. Happy to be here again for our 33rd week in a row. I'm going to make a confession to you today, Erin. I don't know if you know every little detail, and this is going to be difficult to do. So,
oh, especially with your foot in your mouth.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, sometimes the frankly part gets away from me, gracefully and frankly. So, don't my toes taste terrific? Yeah.
I'm in awe of you for telling this story. So, thank you. Why I got yelled at on the street. We will share that with you. How life right now, as much as you may hate the certain ad that comes on the radio that we'll tell you about or may even turn you off entirely, how we have to embrace that. And we'll explain that to you as well. And I'm looking for the actual quote, and all I can find is this one that says, "Dogs act exactly the way we would if we had no shame." No, that's not the quote, but the one I'm looking for is, to stay fit, you walk your dog several times a day, or act as if you have a dog and do that several times a day.
Right.
And that sticks in my mind every time I'm out with Miss Dottie, but we'll explain why you may not have to do it as often as you think and still be healthy. Yeah, it'll all make sense. I promise. We promise.
It always does in the end. And our thanks as well to Envy Pillow for sponsoring Gracefully and Frankly. A while ago, I wrote a blog post about this, about how I stopped going to the chiropractor. I started doing something different. But spine alignment is so important. And I'm not feeling that I'm missing much because I'm using my Envy Pillow, and it actually contributes to proper spine alignment because of the way the Envy Pillow is shaped. If you have TMJ, if you have a little problem with your neck or your back, the Envy Pillow supports correct body posture, airway, and jaw point position. So you're not putting that kind of pressure on your mouth and your jaw, and you're not putting all the weight of your head onto your neck. So you have to look at it yourself at envypillow.com. Take a look at how the shape of the pillow offloads the pressure from your face and will just keep you from forming those facial wrinkles that you get from smushing your face into the pillow, and makes your back and neck feel good as well. Check it out at envypillow.com. And if you do choose to buy a pillow or something else, use the code GF. Good friends. Gracefully, frankly, yeah. Gluten-free, GF for 10% off.
Excellent. And it's spelled E-N-V-Y, and the V is capitalized because of the shape of the pillow. There you go.
And here we go.
Oh, you remember this time of year. I mean, we don't listen to the radio much anymore. We don't at all. Do you?
Not really. Sometimes satellite radio, which of course was a four-letter word when we were in regular radio, but
yeah, so were podcasts. It's like, no, don't listen to those. Listen to us. But it's the time of year when the Let's Go to the X commercials start coming on, I guess, on TV as well. And I don't know about you, but I used to just cringe. You just wanted to say, no. No, not yet.
Oh, yeah.
As though somehow being in protest of it was going to prevent or slow the onslaught. But you know what? It's time that we embrace that this is how life is, right?
Yeah, the CNE, the fall fairs, all that kind of stuff. It seems like the lead up to it is just rushing our lives. I feel like life is on fast forward when the ads for back to school start a month early and all that kind of stuff. It's like, let me get there when I get there. You're right. It is how life is. It's just like trying to swim against the tide.
Absolutely. And if you look at it sort of as a metaphor for life, you know, where you've got spring, where you're young and you're sowing seeds, and then summer, you get to watch everything kind of come to fruition. And then this is the time where you kind of kick back and just look at everything around you and enjoy the bounty. I mean, oh my gosh, this time of year and the roadside stands, especially in Ontario. And you took an amazing road trip. I saw the pictures of you with the top down on that. What kind of car is that that Derek is is now the other love of his life?
It's a 1967. Oh, I've got to get this right.
You better.
Pontiac Le Mans convertible. And it's blue, and he got it from California, and it was just a dream for him to get this car. And it doesn't fit in our garage because as cars have gotten smaller, they built garage smaller. It's 5 inches too long.
Oh, no.
So it sits in the driveway. But yeah, we did go on a road trip and roadside stands with corn and then all that kind of stuff. Derek said at one point, with all the fields just full of vegetables right now, it just feels like everything is alive and bountiful. You know, you feel like there's no scarcity. It's everything is, I don't even know how to, it just was such a good moment to just feel like, wow, this is pretty cool. Stuff we wouldn't have even probably appreciated when we were younger.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it takes time. This is part of what amazes me about our grandson is that he will remark on how beautiful a flower is or the brightness of a tree. He appreciates stuff like that. But most of the time, when we're younger, oh, it's just flowers. It's just trees. Come on, Mom, don't be ridiculous. But yeah, you come to this point and you understand how much work went into making all of this happen. That corn at your local grocery store didn't just get there. Well, most of it did via a truck from Mexico or California. But in the case of Ontario and beautiful BC corn, there's nothing like it. And we're so darn lucky in the whole scheme of things.
Well, and it's a good thing, too, when you look at the price of groceries, that you can go to a market instead and get it fresh from the farmer and get it less expensive. You know, yeah, we are pretty fortunate.
We find that it's probably more expensive to buy it from the grower. Yeah. But are we going to dicker about that? Are we going to begrudge them the money that they have put into labor and all of their time? And it's just a time in our lives to be grateful and to see everything around us, as you did on your road trip. But also at this time in our lives, what's with all of the cars passing you guys by?
So Derek is driving a little bit over the speed limit, as most drivers tend to do, just, you know, whatever you feel is safe. And everyone passed us. Trucks hauling boats. Yeah, like you name it. Everybody was just in such a hurry for some reason. And I said to Derek, do you think there's a perception that we're going slower just because it's an old car? And do you think that translates to people? That somebody sees an older person, they see maybe my gray hair or whatever, and they just assume, oh, they're going to be going slowly. They're going to be saying something stupid, whatever. You know, I just wondered about that.
That's interesting. And you're not emitting any noxious fumes. I mean, not Derek, but I mean the car.
No.
As you're driving, are you? Because that's often the case with older vehicles. You want to get by them because there's a whole lot of garbage coming in the air.
Right. No, this one is smells sweet and takes high test, whatever. I don't know. I just sit in it once in a while and put on a big hat. That's all I know.
Good. Well, I do have a question. Where do you get gas for a car that was built for leaded gasoline?
Well, he puts a high test or whatever the heck it's called, super in it. I don't even understand. I do not get it. But somehow that's what you need to do for this car and it works. Yeah, everything has changed so much since it was built. And, you know, it was considered a mid-sized car back then, like a family car.
Oh, my gosh.
And the thing is pretty big. So compared to cars of today. Yeah, exactly.
You told me about something that happened to you last week, and there was a certain element of being mortified about it. And I thought, oh, I wonder if she'll talk about this on Gracefully and Frankly. And honestly, Lisa, I would totally respect you if you chose not to, but I do respect you even more for choosing to share this. So this takes jam. This takes jam. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I have to give a little bit of context. First, I want to say in my defense that I scroll past people all the time on social media with all this stuff. I don't even engage. I don't do anything. But there was a boat, a fishing boat. You know, Port Stanley, where I live, is a fishing village. It's still very much operated as a fishing village. And There was a boat that came into harbor this season from another town not far away that hadn't been here for a couple of years. And they had one of those black F. Trudeau flags up on top. Now, this flag is flying higher than even the Canadian flag. It's flying way up top. And you know it's meant to be seen, right? Like, nobody's trying to be subtle here.
Can I ask you, is it F or is it the whole, all four letters?
Oh, it's the whole word. I'm just trying to shorten it here.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of chatter on Facebook about it because the village's big weekend that's called Calypso was just on the last long weekend. And this boat was in the harbor with its big flag on it. And people were talking about, oh, freedom of speech and blah, blah, blah. And why is this flag up above the Canadian flag? And just on and on. People, you know, our kids have to see it and they're asking about it. So Derek and I were on our walk, which we do every day. We go down this big hill and go into the village and walk along the harbor and then come back up a back way by the beach. It takes us about 35, 40 minutes. Good walk. And there's this boat. And so I said to Derek, talk me out of it. He goes, don't you say anything. And I said, oh, come on, talk me out of it. And just joking. I really had no intention of saying anything. I didn't think I did. The guy was there beside the boat putting gas in his pickup truck. Obviously, there had been some sort of an issue. The boat hadn't gone out yet. I don't know what was going on because usually they leave early. And Derek said to him, oh, that's a rough start to the day or something like that. And the guy went, oh, yeah, whatever. And I said, especially under that stupid flag. And Derek, you can just see Derek's face fall. And the guy goes, and then we're still walking. So I'm walking away from it at this point. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, you don't like that flag? And I said, if you want to F him so badly, at least he's single now. Oh, Aaron. Oh, Aaron.
Oh, no.
And Derek picked up his stride. And I was laughing at myself. And the guy yelled, yeah, well, you can go F yourself. And I laughed even louder and just kept walking. So this is not the stoic behavior that I aim for. I am not proud of this. I'm telling you this despite being mortified by my behavior. This is not how I behave. Derek was furious because a guy who's that in your face, and I mean, we saw the guy.
Yeah.
He just seems like he'd be more likely to say to Derek, get your woman in line, than he would to deal with me.
Oh.
I don't know. I just have that impression.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Did you worry at any time that there might be a physical altercation? Because that's Rob's thing. He's always like, don't get me in a fight. Because Rob has never thrown or taken a punch.
Right. No, we were quite a ways away at this point. He was still pouring gas into his pickup truck. He was just mad as hell that I would say something like that. Because I'm intimating that, you know, the F means obviously,
well,
not what he intends it to mean.
Right.
And that's the joke. I mean, I've seen a lot of people do that. It's sort of a fight back thing that people are doing on social media, saying, oh, wow, you want to sleep with a guy so badly. And they have to go, that's not what it means. And that's the fun of it.
Right.
Is that you take the steam out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It stayed with me for quite a while because I just felt like, I felt, who is this person? What happened to me? And I think Derek's comment later was, if you're going to yell at somebody and be a jerk, do it when I'm not around.
Mm.
And that's fair. I don't know whether he thought he would get drawn into it. And like I say, I am really not proud of this whatsoever. And it's the opposite of being a stoic. But this is the reason why I call my series Stoic in Training.
Right.
Because I'm not there yet.
Oh, my God.
Okay. But some of the response, I did tell, oh, I told you, I didn't tell my brother. He has no idea. I did tell one other friend and she said, well, look, this guy has got a flag flying that he wants to put in your face, and you were just responding to it. And I thought, that's one way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way to look at it is, I could have just kept walking, right?
Right. So what would Marcus Aurelius or any of the Stoics, what would they have done? Just said nothing. Good day, sir.
Right.
I said good day.
Yep.
And then
I said good day. They would have just kept walking and looked the other way, because in the truth of it, this guy can fly that flag. It's not illegal. I mean, it's dumb, and it's, I wouldn't care if it was an F. Paul Avere flag. It's just as dumb. One person isn't responsible for all the ills in your life or in the country. It's just not. But yeah, I think he would have kept walking and just let it go. The idea is to, when you're a Stoic, is to behave in a way that shows others grace. I'm laughing because there was no grace there.
You know what? You're human. And it is offensive to have that four-letter word, any four-letter word, out for everybody to see. Then there's no reason why a child should have to read that, no matter what their age. At reading age, there's still an innocence or a sense of what's okay and what's not. And you're trying to teach them in your home that that is one of the big words that you don't use, along with the S word, which of course is stupid. But it's just me, me, me. And regardless of your political stripes, I agree with you. And that same voice, you know, the angel and the devil, like I talked about last week about at the end of Oppenheimer saying, that wasn't Barbie. That's the voice.
But you held back. You held back, Erin. You were an adult. I was like a little kid who was out of control and could not hold myself back. I just felt like it was a compulsion, almost like it was something otherworldly, like somebody else had a hand in my back and was moving my mouth. And yet I take full responsibility for it. But, you know, all the little kids down at the harbor, all the visitors, the tourists, everybody at the harbor on that weekend, you stop and you look at those boats and you look up and go, what's that flag? What's that? People do it. And it bothered me that on this special weekend, this person was allowed to come and taint that. However, it changed nothing that I said anything, except now he's probably just watching out for me. But I wouldn't advise it. I regret doing it, even though it did feel good at the time.
Rob's advice in this situation, as it was to me after something upsetting happened last week to me on the streets of Sydney, was, she's not thinking about you anymore.
Yep.
And it's entirely likely that you weren't the first or the last to mention to this guy in some way that his flag was offensive. So I don't know. If he's allowed free speech, you should be allowed free speech too. And it doesn't make it right.
No.
And the difference between what you did and what I didn't do, I was stuck surrounded by these people for the next 5 minutes while we exited the theater. You could just walk it off, hopefully.
I can't justify it, though, Erin, in any way. I just think that it was picking a fight. He didn't say, are you in favor of my flag? There's nothing like that going on, really. I just leaped out on it, and I pledged to do better. We drove by a big flag, same flag, outside of a house. And I said to Derek, should I go back and set it on fire just to be consistent? And we laughed and we laughed. And he stepped on the pedal a little harder and away we went. So,
yeah, ring cameras, Lisa, ring cameras. Just remember, okay?
So what happened to you in Sydney?
Rob and I deliver meals to seniors every Thursday, as you know. It's just something we like to do. I don't cook them, so most of them are still alive. But I had our dear friend Mira's meals, and I knew her son was visiting. And we had called earlier to say, okay, we're 10 minutes out, which we do for everybody. And then when we got to her apartment building, we called the number outside to access so she could open the door, and it was busy. So we waited, busy. And we did that about five more times and went, oh, okay. Well, obviously, after she spoke to us, she kept her phone off the hook. Okay. So I thought, okay, well, how do we let her know we're here? We tried her son's phone number. He's got a new phone number. So I walk around. She's on the third floor of an apartment building over a bank, an old bank building that overlooks Sydney's Main Street, which is Beacon. And there are five or six little tables, cafe tables of people sitting, having coffee. And I could see her apartment, that the door to the deck was open. So I thought, well, I know Mira's got great hearing from 98, can I just say? But I thought, okay, she and Danny are there. They won't have the TV on. I'm going to yell. So I did. From the street, I yelled, Mira! And then I waited. And I looked around and I kind of shrugged like, hey, sorry, nobody was really looking at me except one elderly gentleman. And you almost don't have to qualify because everybody in Sydney is elderly. And no answer. So I did it again. And then the third time I thought, OK, I'm going to do it louder. And I yelled, Mira, you know, kind of like on the waterfront or whatever that is. Stella.
Yes.
OK, so I'm doing that. And this woman turns around and she had a face on her like a slapped ass. And I'm sorry, that's one of my favorite sayings from British comedy. But anyway, she turns around and she goes, shut up. And I said, I'm sorry, I've got meals to deliver to this lady and her door is locked. Well, why can't you knock on her door? And I said, we can't get into the building. We're trying to get into her building. Like, I wouldn't have freaking thought of that, lady. I said, right. And you don't have to be so rude. You know, I said, good day.
Good
well,
for you.
I don't even yes. know what her response was, but I walked away and I felt so darn chastised and stupid. And I knew that I was making a noise and I was sorry. No more noise than a Harley going by, I might add. But I didn't have any alternative. I had to get in there. We were going to have a nice visit with her son and her.
You know, you're just the latest whatever in this woman's life. If she doesn't have empathy and wonder why you're calling a woman's name.
And she didn't know that I wasn't, you know, somebody to hate. She probably just thought it was somebody young yelling on the street and, you know, ar, 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 ar. But I was disturbing her conversation. And if cognitive behavioral therapy has taught me anything, perhaps she and her husband were talking about their latest cancer diagnosis. And that's the kind of thing I have to put in my head and say, she was already having a bad day. That's why the face. But the point was, I felt rotten. Rob remembered that one of Mira's neighbors works at a nearby thrift store. The woman happened to be in. We got the key. We got into the building. Yada, yada, yada. It was a nice visit. So that was my experience. Don't be the person who yells. And don't be the person who yells at the person. I mean, I wasn't doing it just for fun.
Right.
But she didn't stop to think about that either. I was obviously disturbing their conversation, and I'm sorry for that. And I did say, I'm sorry. So there you go, you know.
How did Rob react to that? Because he's the wise one.
Yeah, he was already around the corner, so he wasn't with me at the time.
Oh.
he said, yeah, we should have thought of Mira's key with the neighbor sooner. And I said, yeah, I know. So it all worked out okay. But we're always, always on this constant journey of learning, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, I know. And of keeping yourself in check. But Mira is a treasure. This woman would have benefited from meeting Mira.
She would have. Mira would have said to this woman, what is your problem? That's what she would have said to the woman at the cafe table. But anyway, our dear Mira is turning 98 on September 1st, and she's already saying she's 99. So I can't wait for that day. I've learned so much from her.
Yeah. Yeah. I promised to come for her 100th birthday if I was invited.
Oh, that's right. She's tired and she doesn't want to stick around too much. But the more I talk with her, Lisa, the more I learn. And we were talking about her being picked up by a train to take her to the Nazi work camps where she was until the very end of the Second World War. And she said, but you know, I was never afraid. I said, even in the train ride, even with the bombs going off around the factory where she had to work, she said, I was never afraid because I was young and I thought this will never happen to me. And I thought, isn't that an amazing thing? And it's really how she's lived her life through the tragedy of losing her husband. And, you know, and he was relatively young and it was very sudden. And it was during a visit to Canada. Through all of this, I was never afraid. And her last name is Frankel. She's got to be related to Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, because she wasn't afraid. And the more I learn about her, the more I want to talk. And people say, oh, you should write a book or write an article. I couldn't do her justice, Lisa. I wouldn't even know where to begin. You talk about walking with your husband daily.
Yeah.
I'm still can't get over Port Stanley having Calypso. I mean, that's so fantastic. It sounds great.
Oh, it's spelled differently, though. It's come and live in Port Stanley, Ontario. Cal-ip with
that's
an I.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Yeah.
Thank you.
So you're walking, and I just love an article that we both saw about steps. You know me. I have my step counter on my watch. I aim for 6,000 daily, and that's kind of the gold standard. It should be 10,000. I know. Or maybe not.
Well, actually, now they're saying 4,000 is great, which is such a relief for us because our walk every day is between 4,000 and 5,000. And that's great. So they're saying that's enough. So don't pressure yourself to get 10,000 if it's not easy for you to do. As long as you keep moving, you take the stairs instead of the elevator sometimes, you park a little further away from some place to walk. And if you're getting six, that's fantastic. The point is getting up and moving,
right?
Absolutely. Like I never thought about this years ago. I sit here and edit for hours at a time, but I make sure every hour or hour and a half or something, I get up and do something else for 15 minutes where I'm on my feet and I'm walking around, I'm moving, and then come back and sit down again.
And it comes back to the harvest of our lives. You know, metaphorically, we're sitting back and looking at all this harvest. But when you look at what's there, all the fruits and vegetables available to you at this season in our lives, these are what we should be eating, right? Too. It all comes to this great sort of picture that it's the freshness, it's the getting out and enjoying the beauty that this summer brings and the fall and for some the winter as well. But the activity, and I think, Lisa, part of that article was to me saying, all right, we've got to get people moving, but it's like eating the elephant. How do you do it? Well, you do it a bite at a time. Sorry, PETA, it's a metaphor too. But what the whole message is just get off your butt. The best thing for us has been having a dog because now I do the longer walks. I put a podcast on in my AirPods and I listen to Rachel Maddow or Terry O'Reilly or whatever. And then I vow not to turn into the house until the episode is over. So for me, I don't have a walking partner. I have Miss Dottie. She loves it. She sleeps better. I sleep better. And nobody says you have to lose 50 pounds. No, lose 5 pounds. And then you go, okay, that was easy. Lose another five. You know, we get this idea that the finish line is everything, but it's how you get there. You're not going to be first in the Boston Marathon, but if you qualified and you managed to make the course, doesn't matter if the lights are all off and everybody's gone home, you've done it.
Yep. This is something that I'm trying to learn about weight and about other things. And like being a stoic, it's a work in progress. But don't loathe yourself in the meantime because you're not 50 pounds lighter or you haven't gotten 10,000 steps. Be happy with progress. And okay, I got 2,000 steps today. Tomorrow I'm going to go for 2,500. We only should judge ourselves against ourselves.
Right.
Not other people and not other people's goals and not what other people do. Do you know, I read something in the New York Times that clicked a little light on for me, and it was so simple. It was a woman talking about health, and she said, sometimes we just have to embrace being average. And for some reason, that did something in my brain. I don't know if I had previously been thinking I was going to be a supermodel or late blooming or what it was. But that just, that sort of gave me like to take a breath and say, yeah, what the hell? You know, what am I pressuring myself about here? I mean, this is my life, you know, whether I'm 20 pounds overweight or I only got 3,500 steps today, there's always tomorrow. I don't need to self-flagellate, beat myself up.
Flagellate. You flagellated that guy down at Calypso. That's what you did. There will be no flagellation in public. And
that's a word I haven't said in a long time.
Well, it needs to be said. Oh, my dear. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Well, I love it all today, Lisa. Thank you for being open and honest about the situation with the flag. I mean, if people are going to do this, they've got to expect reaction, or why would they have it up? You know?
Yeah, and I appreciate your point that I can't possibly be the only one who has said something about it. And I think perhaps it may not be the most clever thing that was said, but it could have been worse. So
it could have.
I'll forgive myself.
Yes, please do. Because remember, he's forgotten about it. He's forgotten about it.
Right.
Prove me wrong. Walk by his boat again. No, sorry, don't.
There's a reason we time our walks when we do.
I get it. Rob would have been mortified, too. So thank you, Derek, Rob, and everyone else who is the voice of reason. Don't you hate the voice of reason sometimes?
Can't stand it. Especially when it's walking way ahead of me because it's embarrassed by me.
Well, listen, you have a great weekend. Stay out of trouble, and we'll talk to you again next week. Okay, Lisa, thank you so much. And to everyone who joins the conversation at our Gracefully and Frankly Facebook page, we're getting more and more emails and reactions, and we just love it because it always gives us food for thought. We're grateful to you.
And I'm grateful to you, Aaron Davis, and to Envy Pillow for being along right from the beginning with us. And this is another highlight of the week. Thanks so much.
You are welcome. Episode 33 done, and we'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.